This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I sit here with Julio Pavón, padrino, leader, mentor, and he's going to talk to us about ending the Jones Act.
That's the goal. Exactly. The goal is that right after Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, you know, we needed to look at a new narrative, because every time a hurricane hits, it's always basically the same thing with the diaspora, which is sending supplies, helping out any way we can, criticizing those who are not helping from this country. And of course, Maria exaggerated everything to a point that it really helped to one degree, where it showed people something that other hurricanes perhaps did not show, which is the unequal treatment that Puerto Ricans, who are U.S. citizens, were not getting. So on that side. But everything else is basically the same. And then we said, okay, so people are going to demonstrate. People are going to march. People are going to have rallies. Washington, D.C., Wall Street, New York City. And then what? We go back to the same thing. So we scratched our heads. We said, there has to be something. And while this issue with Maria has raised a debate about colonialism, so that's the new word that everybody's using, and the fact that we get stuck on these things, and debates can surge regarding, okay, no longer a commonwealth, so it's now either state or independence, so everybody takes their little niche and they start moving on that and they start, you know, promoting that end. But then we're almost back to square root one. The only difference is we don't have a colony, we don't have the commonwealth. So now it's two groups fighting, and basically with the same rhetoric, the same rhetoric. Yo me pregunto hasta cuándo. You know, we're going to continue this. So a few of us started thinking, and we had this meeting at Hostos, and then at Pregones back in December, and we came up with a whole bunch of ideas, and we just said, how about if we don't speak about the status of Puerto Rico? Let's not get hung up on what divides us, which is, should it be a state? Should it be an independent country? Should it be an enhanced commonwealth? Is it a commonwealth? Is it a colony? And while we get caught up in those issues, the people of Puerto Rico are suffering. So we started thinking, what things can we do? So aside from the various reasons and ideas and concepts that came up from, you know, helping to support, you know, people in Puerto Rico who are doing progressive things, investing in Puerto Rico, spending more time in Puerto Rico, you know, buying property in Puerto Rico, we thought that maybe there's one thing that we can do that helps everybody. And that's, let's focus on the Jones Act. Some people still don't know what the Jones Act was about. People hear the Jones, and they confuse it with the Jones Act that basically gave us our citizenship.
So, a lot of people think that the Jones Act is...
Yeah, a lot of people think that the Jones Act is basically the fact that it is, gave us citizenship, 1917. Mm-hmm. But there's other aspects of the different Jones Act, which was, you know, set up during the World War, that basically was behind the issue of the Germans sinking a lot of merchant ships. And to protect U.S. ports, the Maritime Commission and U.S. Navy at the time came up with the concept that all ships entering into U.S. ports needed to be ships that were built, that were manned, and that were staffed by U.S. citizens with a U.S. flag. And that maritime law is still existing. And that's a good law. I mean, I don't think we're at war, but uno nunca sabe, you know? So if you want to make sure that ISIS doesn't send a ship here with a Arabic flag, you know, you might just want it to be the way it was and what was intended. But does that apply to territories? You know, and the fact that Puerto Rico is a territory, and the fact that Puerto Rico imports 90% of every single item in Puerto Rico, 90% of everything in Puerto Rico has to be imported. And what's even worse is that almost 80-something percent of the food that we eat has to be imported. So between the food that we eat and everything that we utilize, from toilet paper to, you know, clothes to, you know, laptops to iPhones, cars, you name it, has to come from outside. So if that's the case, and 90% of the stuff that comes to Puerto Rico comes from the outside, then obviously it's a lucrative market for someone. And that's why it applies so much to Puerto Rico, when Puerto Rico imports so much that it's the fifth largest consumer of American goods. It imports, Puerto Rico imports more than Canada does. And Canada is like, what, 100 times bigger than Puerto Rico?
At least.
And there's no secret that every franchise that opens in Puerto Rico, whether it's Macy's, Victoria's Secrets, Home Depot, Walgreens, they sell more in Puerto Rico than any other store on the planet. So they have a captive audience. And I guess with all these products coming in, that's good for a sector. So, but when you look at the details, okay, if it was just importing, okay, fine, you're an island, you have to import. But this is the part that bothers us. If a ship comes to Puerto Rico that's from another country, they can dock. So people who are confused, people think that no ships that doesn't have a U.S. flag can dock. No, that's not true. Ships with other flags can dock. But they have to pay 15% of what the product is going to be sold for, it's worth. So they're paying that to who? Now, if they were paying that to Puerto Rico, I might not be here today. I say, bueno, pues estamos las papas. Because if you bring in, 300 cars from Japan and you're taxing them 15%, and that money's going to go into the island and it's going to be used for schools, going to be used for something.
Infrastructure.
I don't mind. Might be, it's going to cost me more, but that's the problem of having an island, right? You can't drive the cars there. You got to bring them by boat. So no problem. But that's the problem, that money doesn't stay in Puerto Rico. It goes to the U.S. Maritime Commission. The Maritime Commission does what with it? We don't know. But it ain't coming to Puerto Rico. That's the 15% of the products of the ships that do dock in Puerto Rico, and ships do dock. Not that many. But those that do dock have to pay 15%. But then the majority of the ships that don't want to pay the 15%, if they're coming from Europe, they're coming from other parts, it's easier for them to then dock in Jacksonville, Florida. And in dock Jacksonville, Florida, they basically pay for unloading and then reloading. And when they reload those ships, and then those ships that are on U.S. merchant ships, which is the most expensive merchant ships, those ships coming to Puerto Rico, there's a cost to that. It's a cost. And who's paying for that? Well, Puerto Ricans. The ship manufacturer, the ship product, the people who are sending the products, none of those people are going to absorb the cost. So if I'm sending something to Puerto Rico, it's costing $100. If I have to pay 15% on $100, that's an extra $15. I'll pay it. But who's going to pay me back for that? Well, the consumer, the Puerto Rican. And if I have a ship that's sending a product to Jacksonville and I have to pay for unloading it and reloading it, and the Maritime Workers Union are not the guys, they're not on minimum wage. Those guys making a very good salary. By the way, 3,000 jobs in Jacksonville. Those people get paid. So who's paying the cost of that? Well, again, the Puerto Rican consumer. Now think about this. In an average, without getting into the economics of this, we're paying about 20 to 25% more on U.S. products in Puerto Rico, or on all products in Puto Rico. So if you're paying 20 to 25% more on a product, and then you add to that a sales tax, an IWU, a sales tax of 11.5, which is really 12%, you're talking close to 30% that the average Puerto Rican is paying. That's incredible for an island that has an unemployment rate and a poverty rate that's, double that of Mississippi, which is the poorest state in the union. And nobody seems to care about that. So let's just imagine. Imagine if the Jones Act did not apply to Puerto Rico. Imagine if ships can come to Puerto Rico and they don't have to pay the tax, but perhaps Puerto Rico can charge them a tax to maintain the infrastructure of the ports. And let's say it's just 10%. That's a lot of money that's going to go to Puerto Rico. And if the ships come to Puerto Rico, now you're going to need more workers. So maybe those 3,000 jobs that are in Jacksonville, Florida, maybe half of them, 1,500, can come to Puerto Rico. And because there's going to be maybe more ships coming to Puerto Rico, maybe not all of them have to come to San Juan. You have an incredible port facility that was built and never used. Millions of dollars were invested in Ponce to have an incredible, it has deep port facilities. And you go by La Guancha, and you see this incredible cranes that are that were put together and built for exactly that, never used. Well, Ponce could become the second port in Puerto Rico. And I just recently learned that Mayagüez also is now, you know, working on something that cruise ships are going to be coming to Mayagüez. They're trying to get cruise ships there. So if a cruise ship can come to Mayagüez, that means that a cargo ship can come to Mayagüez. So you can split that up so that everybody on the island and can benefit from some type of new structure that can be where ships can come straight to Puerto Rico. And that, I think, is the most noble thing that we can possibly do. And the best thing about this is that, hey, you could be pro-statehood and still support this. You could be pro-independence and still support this. You could be confused and think that we're still a commonwealth and support this, because this is not a confusing thing. It's common sense. And the biggest lobby that's against this, because it's a very difficult issue, we thought, de un palo, vamos a tirarle a esto, the Jones Act, why not? Pero mija, no. We've come across the most incredible resistance from a sector that we have always supported. And it's time to call them out. The labor movement. I have always supported the labor movement. You know, my father was pro-labor. My father was one of those people that taught me, you know, you never cross a picket line. You always support in union struggles. I've been a strong supporter of unions. At the age of, 17, 18, I worked in the post office night to raise money, because at that time I needed to, you know, make some money, and they got me a job in the post office. And that's the year of the infamous strike, where the post office went on strike. And I was a part-time, what they call a 90-day temp, and I was working there. So I wanted to go out on strike with these guys that I had been working with for a month and a half. You know, and they told me, no, man, you're young. You need your money. You got to go to school, man. You don't be on strike. But you can help us by staying here and talking to the National Guard that was sent to distribute the mail. So I was organizing, and I was telling the National Guard that, hey, man, we got to support those guys downstairs. But the best thing we could do, a package going to Brooklyn, let's send it to Boston, you know, and a package going to, you know, Camden, send that shit to Canada, you know, and we helped destroy the concept. So I've always been supportive of the unions, but it's the unions who are the ones, the AFL-CIO, which has an incredible lobby. I mean, I think the only lobby that has more money than the AFL-CIO is the gun lobby. So they have a lot of money, and they've greased a lot of hands. A lot of congressmen, a lot of people, not just in the United States Congress, but also in Puerto Rico, where you have, you know, like shamefully individuals who are in the Senate and who are in the House in Puerto Rico. And they're like lollygagging behind the fact of, well, the Jones Act, yeah, yeah. And then they paid for this incredible report that they put out, and people's actually cited without studying it, because it has all these pictures and it has all this color. And of course, you have that much money, right? And the report basically says that a can of Campbell's soup costs less in Puerto Rico because of the Jones Act.
You mean cost more?
It costs less. That if there wouldn't have been the Jones Act, that can would cost more. Would you believe it? And yes, and people actually believe that. That if a can of Campbell's soup costs this amount, because of the Jones Act, because we can bring that cheaper to Puerto Rico if it was to go any other way. Then this is the logic that these people are using. People are buying into it, that the best thing that happened to Puerto Rico is the fact of the Jones Act. The fact that in the last committee session that took place in the U.S. Maritime Commission, there was an expert from this group that reports on this who said that we're wasting our time. Anybody who's fighting to amend the Jones Act or to knock down the Jones Act in Puerto Rico, that we're wasting our time. That we should focus on the real problem. The real reason that Puerto Ricans are paying more for products is not because of the Jones Act. It's because of the taxes in Puerto Rico. That we should deal with Hacienda. It doesn't make sense, but people buy into that. And I recently had a conversation with some people who told me, no, but this is, you know, what this report is saying. I said, listen, first of all, who wrote the report? This is a report that was paid for by the very people that want to defend that, which is different from some of the most prestigious institutions that have put independent reports, universities, foundations, when the New York City Bar, New York State Bar, the United States Bar Association, all of these organizations, all independently, that are not being paid by anybody who's against the Jones Act, have independently come out and said that the Jones Act is not good for Puerto Rico, and the Jones Act should be amended. It should be definitely, replaced. It should not apply to Puerto Rico. So these are the things that we want to do, and we decided that the best way to do this is, how can we help Puerto Rico? Besides this conversation that we're having here, that we can have in the streets many times, how can we really make an impact? And we came up with this crazy idea. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, you've had a Me Too movement, National Day of Me Too. Mm-hmm. You've had a National Day of Black Lives Matter. So how about if we have a National Day for the respect and justice of Puerto Rico? And since there's been so much destruction in Puerto Rico and we don't have the resources, let's not make it a day. Let's make it a whole weekend, the National Weekend of Respect and Justice for Puerto Rico. And we chose to do it on the weekend of October 26th, 27th, and 28th. Why that weekend? Because that's 2 weeks prior to the United States general midterm elections. And there are many congressmen, many governors, but especially congressmen and senators that are up for re-election. And I believe, working in politics much of my life, that usually 2 weeks before the elections, the candidates like to look at demographics. They like to look at statistics. They like to look, where am I? And perhaps if we can start a movement that we can get the diaspora throughout the United States to actually do just one little simple thing, just like we all love to wave our flag on a Puerto Rican Day parade, wear, Puerto Rican something. Well, we're asking that on that weekend, do something, have something. If you're a university student, can you convince your professor or somebody to do a class on the Jones Act? Can you organize an event at the student lobby on the Jones Act? And forget about numbers of people. We're not talking about trying to get thousands of people. No. If you could just get 10 people, 15 people, 20 people to, congregate and talk about the Jones Act. If you're a religious person, you don't get involved in nothing, but you believe that the Jones Act does hurt Puerto Rico. Can you have a prayer on your Sunday when you go to church? Ask your priest, can you say a prayer for Puerto Rico? Can we have just 5 seconds to talk about Puerto Rico? If you're a housewife, if you're a soccer mom, and you don't get involved in nothing, pero tú eres puertorriqueña, or you're a friend of Puerto Rico, can you invite three or four neighbors to your house, have coffee, and talk about the Jones Act? But this is the key, that whatever you do on that weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, pick up the phone afterwards, or take a card that we will have. It's on our page, and send that to your local congressman and to your two senators, which basically states that you, as a constituent of that city, town, state, wherever, want them to put the issue of the Jones Act and how it affects Puerto Rico on their agenda. If we can do that on that weekend, I dare say, without being arrogant, that would probably do more than most of the demonstrations that we've been having. Because we have demonstrations, and people love the fact that we mobilize people, and it's important to have them because it makes noise, and you got to make noise. And the press will cover it, and that's important that the press cover it. But those of us who've been involved in demonstrations since we were 16, we know that it's good for that first 3-4 days, but then it disappears because demonstrations is like a voice. It's like a loud noise. And one thing about a voice is that the loudest mouth is not as strong as the weakest ink. And if we can get congresspeople to at least receive a letter, a postcard, or a phone call from a constituent in Des Moines, Iowa, in Tupelo, Mississippi, in Utah, there's 7,000 Puerto Ricans in Utah. If we can get Puerto Ricans wherever they're at or friends to just make a phone call on that weekend and tell their congressman. And let me tell you why I think it's so important, because people say, well, the congressman, they might not be interested. Well, I go further. I don't think that the congressman is interested. I don't think they know anything about Puerto Rico. Congresspeople, when the statistic came out right after Maria and it said that close to 50% of the American population didn't know that we were U.S. citizens, Now, with close to 50% of the U.S. population doesn't know that we were U.S. citizens, do you think for a moment that Congress people know? Man, they don't even know where Puerto Rico is. They don't even know. I'll never forget when I was working for Serrano, and I was in Albany, and I was in the elevator, and I told Serrano, I'm going to Puerto Rico, in case you forgot, I'm on vacation. And he mentioned it to me, and he said, oh, well, let me know when you come back, because, you know, I need you to come up to Albany. And then when the elevator stopped off in the first floor, another assemblyman that was in the elevator told me, excuse me, could you do me a favor? And I said, sure. He says, when you come, can you bring me back some coins from Puerto Rico? Because I collect coins. And I looked at him and I said, I put my hands in my pocket. I took out a couple of coins, quarters and dimes. I said, and he looked at me and said, what's that? I said, here, these are the coins from Puerto Rico. I was shocked. And those things that you think are shocking, no, they're real.
Oh, yeah.
Supreme Court, when the issue of Puerto Rico came up to the Supreme Court, Sotomayor had to remind someone because one of the Supreme Court justices did not know about Puerto Rico. This is a Supreme Court justice. So you can't take it for granted that Congress is all this, you know, all-encompassing, you know, bright individuals and all these issues. Hell no. You got to make sure you call them and tell them, listen, man, there's an island called Puerto Rico, and the U.S. citizens live there. I come from that, you know, I'm a descendant of that, but I'm living here in your state, in your district, and I need you to put that issue on your agenda. Because the ones who have been putting the issue of the agenda of the Jones Act, or any issue with Puerto Rico, are the usual three diasporas, Chicago, New York, and Florida. That's it. That's it. But there's 50 states, and I dare say there's Puerto Ricans in just about every single state. Even if there's only one or two Puerto Ricans, there's Puerto Ricans in every state. There's Puerto Ricans in Alaska, Puerto Ricans in Hawaii, mm-hmm. you know, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Colorado. The woman who just came out, Ramirez, against Judge Kavanaugh, right?
against Kavanaugh. She's right. Puerto Rican.
And she's from Colorado, right? So there's Puerto Ricans everywhere. So that's what we're focusing on. That weekend, and then for some of us, we're going to focus our three events in Florida. Why Florida? Because of a couple of reasons. One, Florida is becoming the new Mecca. I shouldn't say Mecca, because the South Bronx will always be the Mecca of Puerto Ricans in the United States. And I'm not giving that up to nobody. But it's becoming a new hub for Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. The number of Puerto Ricans moving to Florida is incredible. So much so that they are replacing Cubans as the largest Latino bloc in Florida. But that doesn't mean that they're all, you know, for progressive or for independence or for the Jones
Act. Or progressive ideas.
Yeah. So we can't take it for granted.
Sure.
So we thought we should choose to go to Florida and have these events in Florida, which mm-hmm. is a big, you know, sacrifice for a lot of us.
Yeah.
But we came up with an organization in Florida, because you say, how does five or six Puerto Ricans from the Bronx organize something in Florida?
And who are you working with?
It's a group called Misión Boricua. And I got to tell you, I am so excited. After meeting these individuals by phone, and then having meetings by teleconference, and then having finally going to Florida and meeting them, it's Misión Boricua is basically run by women, and they are the most dynamic Puerto Rican women that I have. You know, I was so proud to meet them. One of them is a retired Army sergeant. The other one is a stewardess. And what I like about this one is that she's a Floridian. She's a Puerto Rican that did not come from Chicago, New York, or whatever, Puerto Rico. She was born in Orlando.
Wow.
You know, and she's Puerto Rican. Ella habla español. And she's, you know, she's on the right track. And she's the president of the organization. And the woman who started it, Zoraida Rios, who was a very strong, you know, Boricua, nacionalista, was the one who was heading the Oscar Lopez campaign in Orlando. And these women together, now the new president is the stewardess, Adela, and she's taking it more to a different level, so it doesn't be perceived as it's a leftist organization. And ever since she become president, you know, they've been innovative, and they're really reaching out to do a lot of voter registration, voter education, you know, and just education in general. And when we met with them and we've been talking to them, they love the idea. And they're the ones who we're teaming up with in Florida. So we're having three events in Florida. One of them is we're showing the documentary Huracán that we just premiered here in the Bronx at Pregones last Saturday, which was our fundraiser. And so they're doing the same. They're going to have a fundraiser in Orlando on the 26th. On the 27th, Saturday, we're having a press conference on the National Day of Respect and Justice and an indoor rally. So we're going to have, we're trying to get actors, we're trying to get the comedians, we're trying to get the singers, we're trying to get cultural people and speakers. We committed at the Juan Figueroa Jaramillo, remember, who came here to Hostos?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're getting him to come and say a couple of words at that rally. We have a couple of people to talk about. Nelson Dennis, who wrote the book War Against All Puerto Ricans. We got my wife, who wants to dance.
That's great.
So we're trying to get a little bit of everything to get people to just come and educate. That's on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a car caravan, which originally was going to be a march, until we realized the size of Florida. And we were going to go from Orlando to Jacksonville. Why Jacksonville? Because that's where the ships are. Exactly. And no one has ever done anything in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So we thought it was symbolic for us to do something in Jacksonville.
Sure.
So we're having a symposium in Jacksonville. And it's titled Puerto Rico and the Jones Act. And the difference with this symposium is that we're actually inviting the unions. We're inviting the seafarers. We're inviting the AFL-CIO. We're inviting the lobby groups for them. And say, come, talk to us. Tell us why you're so adamant against the Jones Act being, you know, replacing Puerto Rico or being, you know, eradicated. Why?
Hold. What other countries in the world have a similar type of maritime lockdown?
That I can think of? Hardly none. You know, Hawaii has an issue with the same problem. And we've been trying to reach out to people in Hawaii, because we don't know how that also applies to Hawaii, and they have been fighting against this for the longest. But then again, you see what's happened to Hawaii, you know, which what people think that that's where Puerto Rico is going towards, you know, because there's a lot of similarities. Hawaii is an island, but it's become an island for the wealthy.
Islands.
Yeah, islands, and it's become islands for a lot of the wealth. Of people around the world, not just Americans, but a lot of Japanese and a lot of other folks from
Pacific side of the world.
Right. But it's no longer belonging to the original, you know, aborigines from that island, from those islands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the fears that we have, because that's one of the other islands that still is affected by the Jones Act. It doesn't apply to the Virgin Islands, you know, and the Virgin Islands is a territory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's very close to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
But the reason, I believe, and others might say the same thing, is because we're talking about the island in terms of the economy. How much money it's imported into the Virgin Islands compared to how much money is imported into Puerto Rico. And it's night and day. So that's one of the reasons I think that Puerto Rico is not going to be an easy thing to eradicate the Jones Act. But it has to happen. It has to happen, because little by little, we're building momentum. Recently, in Puerto Rico, there was a meeting of all the distributors. The distributors, the companies that distribute, once those products come in, they come into the ports, they got to be put on tractor trailers, and they got to be then sent out. And those are distributors. Those are not progressive people, mostly. Those are majority Republican, right-wing statehooders. Millionaires, their association stated that the Jones Act must end. And what was interesting is that happened during a period that the governor, Rosselló Jr., was going and accepting, you know, recommendations from all sectors, supposedly, for this plan that he was writing, which is on the future development, economic development of Puerto Rico. He has to submit a plan, and this is what the plan should be to, you know, get Puerto Rico from where it's at to where it's going. And three sectors, the distributors, there was a sector of the intellectuals, and there was a sector of the third one was not the distributors. It was like, I think, the attorneys, El Colegio de Abogados and others, who had all testified and all agreed that the Jones Act, you know, should not apply to Puerto Rico. And if it didn't apply to Puerto Rico, this is one way that the economy would automatically. Imagine, automatically, you're putting 20%.
It's a prison.
Right. And it would automatically put 20% of the money back into the pockets of Puerto Ricans that they can use for other things, right?
Or corrupt politicians.
Or corrupt politicians. But, and the governor had that in the plan. He gets a call from Congressman Hunter.
Knock it off.
Get that out of there. And he buckled. He took that out of the plan. The elimination of the Jones Act is no longer on the plan of the project, of the report that the governor submitted. So that's how much power these people have. And that's how we're reaching out to those individuals as well, trying to reach out to them to say to them, look, there's an issue here.
And it's a human rights issue.
Absolutely. That's a health crisis.
It's a human rights issue in every way, shape, and form, you know?
And that's one of our concerns. And, you know, the other side of this is that, think about it. The only time that one of the most powerful things that we have in the United States is that, you know, no hay mal que por bien no venga, you know, by making us citizens, so unlike Mexicans, unlike Dominicans, Salvadorians, Ecuadorians, Hondurans, we're embedded in the very fiber of this country. That's a national security issue for this country, because they don't know how Puerto Ricans would react to any major injustice in Puerto Rico. So what's one of the best ways to control, which is to divide? So that's why we woke up from this thing. You know, as long as we keep on talking about, oh, we need to be independent, and others talk about being a statehood, and others talk about whatever, we're going to continue going in circles. But if we take that, get out of that circle, and just pick one topic only, and for us is the Jones Act. Let's focus on the Jones Act. And if we focus on it, we do two things. We can possibly do something that's never been done in the United States. It's to unite the diaspora on something. We've united the diaspora on some things. For example, segments of the diaspora, but not the entire diaspora. We've united segments of the diaspora on Oscar Lopez. I remember back then in the 80s, we united segments of the Puerto Rican community on Lolita Lebron and Oscar Collazo and Andres Figueroa Cordero getting them out of jail. We united sectors of the Puerto Rican community throughout Vieques. But if you look well at what those sectors were, they were the most progressive, and to some degree, not those who were too progressive, but there were issues, but almost the majority of them was from that sector around the country and in Puerto Rico. This one has the possibility of not being, there's no label on this one. It's just being Puerto Rican, or not even Puerto Rican, being a friend of Puerto Rico. Our first fundraiser, we had it about 3 months ago, 2 months, 3 months ago. And half the people that went, we had a little like a cookout. And we invited people to this cookout. Half the people there were African-American and Anglo. The other half were members. It was only like 7-12 members of us. And there was about 30-something people there, 20-something people. And the other half were African-Americans or whatever. And when we explained to them, they only came because they are our friends. And we talked about Puerto Rico, so they thought it was, you know, to raise money, to send supplies or whatever. And we told them, no, this is not about that. The fundraiser is for this project. And when we started talking to them about Puerto Rico and the Jones Act, to our surprise, but not too much to the surprise, a lot of them were like, I didn't know that. Are you serious? I mean, they were really interested in the fact that that is so unfair. Like you said, this is like a human rights issue. I mean, you guys are prisoners, right? But nobody talks about it. And they were all willing to support. They all gave us, you know, donation. And they also, you know, keep us informed. We will definitely call our congressman. But, you know, call Serrano or call, you know, Nidia or call, you know, the ones that we have here, which are already progressive. But if we can do that throughout the country...
Right, to Jill LeBrand and Chuck Schumer.
Right.
Do you think...
Jill LeBrand...
No, I know Jill LeBrand, yeah. But I Schumer, wonder if they've received letters.
I don't know, but that's one that we have to do. Thank you.
I will.
That's what we need to do.
I like to write letters to these people.
That's very important.
In general, but...
That's important, and that's what we want to do. And if we can do that, think about it. We can get 20, 30 states, you know, we can get... 20, 30, 40 districts, congressional districts in this country, to write a letter, to make a phone call to their congressperson and just put the issue of Puerto Rico on the agenda 2 weeks prior to the general elections. I would think that maybe some of them will bite and actually look into and call an assistant and say, hey, what is this about the Jones Act? Give me some information on this. And if you might need some votes and you know that there's 7,000 Puerto Ricans in your state that you might want to bring over to you because you're very close to whatever, you might make an announcement on this thing with Puerto Rico and the Jones Act, you know? So that's what we're focusing on. And I think that it is, I'm very excited about the project, but I got to be honest with you, I never thought that this was going to take so much of my time. After me running for office and being involved in other projects, mm-hmm. I thought I was going to take a break from it. I just want to go and continue writing again mm-hmm. and go back to doing a little bit more of that. And this has overwhelmed me. I never imagined that this was going to be so huge. Huge. I mean, I have gotten, you know, like the calls from people who told me that I'm barking up the wrong tree. I've gotten calls from very close friends of mine who told me that when we first put our first piece of publicity out, we put, you know, end the Jones Act. And I had very close progressive friends of mine who are in the unions who told me that I need to change that. That, you know, end the Jones Act was not a way to attract labor. If you want to talk to labor, you need to change that. So we changed it to amend the Jones Act so that at least we have something to talk about. You know, we've had to do a whole series of things. Some people in our group wanted to have a demonstration in Jacksonville. And I was one of those that opposed it afterwards. I said, but wait, another demonstration? So what's the difference between having a demonstration in Jacksonville and having a demonstration in Washington? The demonstration in Washington was huge, right? What happened? And it didn't change anything in Puerto Rico. So we have a demonstration in Jacksonville. But how about if we have something different, a symposium? How about if we try to invite some of those individuals to come over?
And have a discussion.
I don't think we're going to come to an agreement that day. I don't think that day people are going to say...
But it's a face-to-face.
Exactly, it's a face-to-face. And I just wrote a letter to one of the heads of the Seafarers Union, which is the main union against this. And in my letter to him, I invited him to come to the symposium, and I said exactly that. I said, listen, I think that your union is strongly opposed to, you know, any changes on the Jones Act regarding Puerto Rico. And I'm sure that you're doing it for the, you know, safeguard and security and the well-being of your union members. And I applaud that because I've always been, you know, pro-union. But I'm also a Puerto Rican. And as a Puerto Rican, I see how the Jones Act has affected my island. So I'm torn because I definitely support labor, but I need to talk to you or someone like you so we can dialogue because I think we've both been on two sides talking to our own groups, but we never come together. So I don't expect for us to come to a conclusion, but I think if we at least see each other face to face and we talk, maybe that could be the beginning of something. I don't know what it is. I'll confess, I don't know what it is. But at least talking, we might get somewhere. So please, if you can, these are the dates, and if you can't make it, if you could recommend someone. And then I got another idea after I did the letter. I said, wait a minute. We need a place to have this forum in Jacksonville, and we're trying to get a school, trying to get a university, trying to get whatever. I thought of the idea, wait a minute, why don't we have it in the dock? Why don't we have it in the port, the ports of Jacksonville? So I called the mayor's office, and I called some people, and then they gave me some numbers, and I called the Port Authority in Jacksonville, and I got a call through to the person, and I asked, and I told him, listen, I want to be able to rent a space in Jacksonville ports to have a conversation on the Jones Act. And this is a friendly conversation. I invite anybody from the ports to be part of this, which I know when I go back to my group on Wednesday and I tell them that tomorrow or Thursday, I tell them that I did that. People say, you crazy? You're going to bring us up into the mouth of the lion? And I said, yeah, I think it'll be a concept. What are they going to do?
Yeah, it's a good place. And they said yes.
No, they're considering it. They're talking about it. They were like as confused as anybody else. Like, you want to have the conference here? You want to have a symposium here? I said, yeah.
Why not?
So what are you going to do? Beat us up when we get there? I don't know. We'll have some security.
Go to the Marriott Hotel.
So, you know, we're looking at all these concepts. Respect and justice for Puerto Rico, I think, is a fabulous idea. I think it's something that just about everybody that I spoke to, everybody. I just came back from Los Angeles on this issue with my book. And then I was in Houston for my other company, Latino Sports. And when I've come across anybody that's Puerto Rican, and I've spoken to them about what we're doing, Respect and Justice for Puerto Rico, and the National Weekend of Respect and Justice on October 26th to 28th, I have not found one person that has been that said no to me. They all want to support it. So I think we're onto something, and I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to spread the message, because in order for this to work, we have to spread the message. These five, six people that came together in my house in the South Bronx, you know, it was a crazy idea, but these are crazy times. And I think that, you know, anything can work. And if we get enough information out there, whether it's through social media, whether it's through the radios, we're trying to reach out to people in ABC, NBC, whatever, to do a story on it. I think we might be able to make an impact, and if anything. And then what the other last thing that I'm trying to do, which is the most difficult one, because this has always existed, which is this thing between Puerto Ricans and Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans in the United States. You know, as much as we say, well, Puerto Rican, you know, that's always says, you know, we're almost divided. We only come together whenever there's a hurricane, and then we work together. But other than that, where are we working together? So I've been pushing this idea to statehooders, through independentistas in Puerto Rico. Let's consider this a war. It's a war. If this was a war to help Puerto Rico, don't you need a front? The most important aspect of any war, you can hit it for different flanks, but the most important flank is the frontal attack. The diaspora is the frontal attack to anything that has to do with Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico has a voice but no vote. We have a voice and vote. So I'm trying to convince them, if you really want to make a change in Puerto Rico, then you need to support us. Just give me $5. give me anything. You know, help us, because we're the ones that are taking on this battle. And that's where we are right now. I'm reaching out to as many groups in Puerto Rico, this group of, you know, distributors, you know, very wealthy individuals. You wanted to end the Jones Act, and I agree with you, but do you know that we're trying to do that here, and we can do possibly a lot more here if we get some of your support. So let's see what they say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.